Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is Cake Storage 101, a look into cake's dynamic storage areas. Today's presenters are Sarah Bertram and Eric Hoppe. Sarah has been with IBM for 25 years and a member of the Cake's Level 2 support team since 1996. She enjoys working with customers and looking at domes. She specializes in the storage area of cakes. Eric has been with IBM for 2 years and is a member of the Cakes Level 2 support team. He graduated from the Pennsylvania State University with a bachelor's degree in computer engineering. He enjoys working with customers on various cakes problems. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Sarah and Eric.
Thank you, Joseph. Hi, everybody. Eric and I would like to thank you for joining us on this presentation today. We called this Cake Storage 101 because we plan to build on it. We'd like to, in the future, do some more WebSphere technical exchanges that will be more detailed, shooting short on storage or 878. So this is just a building block and a starting foundation for us. Now moving to slide 2. So here we just want to briefly go over what we want to discuss today. We're going to talk, you know, just in general, very basic, what is a dynamic storage area. We then want to bring in a picture and have a little look at the where cake sits in a ZOS address space. We're going to touch on a few of the CICS SIP farms that affect storage. And then we're going to get more detail about how CICS manages the DSA and how they're broken down. And then we're going to get into something we do a lot, a dump, and give you a view of what Storage Manager looks like in there. We're going to highlight a few of the Storage Manager control blocks. Then we're going to take kind of a side view or a different view and have a look at CPSM and compare it to what we see in a dump, but you can see it real time. So moving on to slide 3. So basically, what is a dynamic storage area, which we will refer to as DSA from now on? Simply, it's a storage area acquired at initialization, which is used and managed by CICS to run user applications. The ICS actually get mains, does MBS get mains, for 3 different areas. Below the 16 meg line, we get what's called just the DSA. Then we get main an area above the line called the EDSA. And then new in 3.2, we started utilizing the above the bar, above the 2 gig bar, by getting a GDSA. That's also referred to as 64-bit storage. Moving on to slide 4.
So what does a typical CICS address space look like? Well, every virtual address will contain a common area and a private area, both below and above the 16 megabyte line. Each address space has access to the same MVS common areas, but will have its own separate copy of private areas. Within the private areas are the user regions, and it's from within the user region is where the DSA is located. So going on to slide 5, this is just a picture to represent using DSM data in a dump of the CICS address space. You can see there's the common storage below and above the 16 megabyte line, and we have the user regions below and above the 16 megabyte line, and it's from within the user region is where the DSA will be. And when you're looking at a CICS address space versus, say, a TSO address space, the user region will be much larger because the CICS DSA is from there. So we can go on to slide 6. So what are some of the SIP parameters that affect CICS storage? I've listed a few of them here, some of the more commonly used ones, and the ones that we're going to mainly focus on throughout this presentation would be affected by the DSA limb and the EDSA limb. these SIP farms specify the overall limit on the total amount of storage which KIC can allocate below the 16-megabyte line for DSA LIN and above the 16-megabyte line for the eDSA LIN. Some of these other parameters affect storage, and I wanted to list them here because in the future, if you're looking at a storage violation or an OC4, they could come into play. We have the rent pick'em SIP farm. This will specify whether KIC should allocate read-only DSAs as key-zero protected storage, meaning they can only read-only. We have the storage cross SIP farm, which specifies whether you want storage protection in the KIC region. And this will create KIC key storage and user key storage. The storage recovery, which specifies whether KIC should try to recover from storage violations. And then transaction isolation, which specifies together with the storage protection SIP farm, whether you want transaction isolation in the KIC region. And like I said, we're not really going to focus on those last four, but I wanted to list them here as they do affect storage. So going on to slide 7, you notice I didn't mention anything about the GDSA LIN. Well, that's because there is no SIP farm for the GDSA LIN, as there is for the DSA LIN and the eDSA LIN. Rather, the GDSA LIN is controlled by the MEM limit value assigned to the address space of the operating system. MEM limit can be set in three different ways. There's the sys1.farmlib. You can specify MEM limit in the JCL, or you can control it using an IEF USI global user exit. Going on to slide 8.
So once KIC is initialized, we go ahead and get main those DSA and eDSA areas. We then break it down, and we break it down into four individual DSAs that serve their own purposes, and we're just going to highlight that here. The most probably heavily used one is called the KIC DSA or CDSA, and this basically is for KIC key storage, KIC control block that KIC will, you know, get main and use throughout the life of KIC. The next one is the user DSA or called UDSA, and that strictly holds user key storage for tasks. There's no other subpools in there but task storage. There's then the shared DSA or SDSA, and this contains user key storage that's of the shared nature. For instance, non-reentrant programs could go in there, as well as applications issuing exec kick commands or get main commands with the shared option. And the last one is the read-only RDSA. And this is where reentrant programs are located or tables. And getting back to one of the SIP farms Eric talked about, it'll be get mained in key zero if you have the rent pick'em equal protect option. Otherwise, if you elect not to run with rent pick'em equal protect, it would be done in KIC's key. But it's still referred to as the RDSA. And then moving on to slide 9, I'm not going to basically reiterate this. This is just showing that what we have below the line is the same as above. We have, again, ECDSA, EUDSA, ESDSA, and ERDSA, and they contain similar storage except for above the line. So moving on to slide 10. Touching on that GDSA, which, again, we're not going to be talking too much about, we just wanted to mention, currently that just has broken down into one DSA, and that's called the KIC DSA or GCDSA. And so that would be for KIC key storage for above the bar, above the 2 gig boundary. And currently, the GCDSA is only used internally by KIC itself, and we use it for channels and containers. So moving on to slide 11.
So now that we've looked at DSA and then broken it down into the individual DSAs, we're going to take it another step further and break it down into the subpools. Well, KIC will assign a unique subpool name to represent storage areas within each of the DSAs. In total, KIC will use about 180 different subpools. And I listed some examples here. We have the SM Share U24 subpool, This belongs to the SDSA, and it's used for shared storage control blocks that are below the line. Another one would be the TS main subpool, and this belongs to the ECDSA and contains temporary storage. And then another one I list is the LG Pigum RO. It belongs to the RDSA, and it contains reentrant programs that are located below the line. So we can go on to, and these are just three. There's many more, but these are just three I wanted to list. Going on to slide 12, you notice I didn't mention any subpools from the UDSA or the EUDSA, and that's because these DSAs are strictly used for user task storage that resides below the line for UDSA and above the line for the EUDSA. The subpool names for each are B00 and then followed by a task number, and this would be for below the line user tasks. And then the U00 followed by a task number would be the subpool for user task storage above the line. And, you know, you've probably seen these before, and they're typically referred to as storage check zones. And that's what KIX will check to make sure storage hasn't been violated, because they are located at the beginning and at the ending of every piece of storage that is get made by a user task. And going on to slide 13.
Okay. So now we've talked about, you know, the DSA and how they're broken down into the individual DSAs and then even lower into subpools. And so now we want to get into, you know, well, how does KIX manage all of this and keep track of it? And so we have to talk about something called extents. So KIX manages the DSAs in units of allocations that we're going to refer to as extents. So below the line, the unit of allocation for an extent is at the quarter meg or 256K. Above the line, the unit of allocation of one of these extents is 1 meg. So basically, you know, whenever a get main request comes in, and if no one has if there's been no allocation yet, KIX, if it's below the line, would allocate a quarter meg extent to one of the DSAs or the requesting DSA, or above the line, it would allocate at least a 1 meg extent. Once an extent is allocated to a particular DSA, it can only be used by that DSA. There's no sharing of an extent across DSAs. Another thing is if there's not enough space in existing, or enough free space, I should say, in existing extent under a DSA to satisfy any request, then KIX simply allocates a new extent to satisfy the request. Another point I want to bring up is, you know, the quarter meg and 1 meg was just a nice boundary that KIX decided to allocate these extents. But we also realize that requests can come in below the line as well as above the line greater than those values. So what CICS will do is he will combine extents and make one larger extent to satisfy requests. For example, if a task was to request 300K below the line, so that's greater than a 1/4 meg extent, CICS would simply combine two extents to make one extent that would have a size of 512K. And it would then allocate that 512K extent to the requesting DSA. For the life of KIX now, that 512K extent will be treated as one extent, meaning we will not break it back down into a quarter meg extent if by chance it was all free. We just will leave it as a half meg extent. Another aspect of these extents is we can get into a situation where CICS has allocated all the extents to various DSAs over the lifetime of KIX. And if a request was to come in, let's say, for the UDSA, the UDSA would go down, look at its extent list to see if it could satisfy the request, if there was free space. If not, what it will do then is it will try to find, it will look at the other DSAs to see if any of them have a totally free extent. For instance, if the RDSA had a quarter meg extent that was not in use at all, that extent could be stolen or taken and given to the UDSA at that time. and then it would then satisfy that request. So basically, expense can be stolen to other expense, but only if they are totally free. Another thing we want to point out is KIC uses a first fit versus a best fit when selecting expense to satisfy requests. And I'm sure that was for, you know, performance reasons. Moving on to slide 14, that's just a notes page. I think I've talked about it all there. So moving on to slide 15.
So now we're going to jump and look in storage as in a system dump. You know, that's what we do daily, and we wanted to share with you what we look at when looking at storage manager in a dump. So going on to slide 16. To look at storage manager domain in a dump, you'd want to issue the command verbex vfhpd660 space open quote sn close quote. And you would do this in IPCS command. You do that in IPCS. And that's how you'll be able to format out the storage manager domain. And some of the first information that you see when you look in the storage manager domain is the summary. And then some of the first information that is displayed is some of the SIT options that you have active in your system. So, for example, you can see here that storage protection requested yes. So storage protection is equal yes in the SIT. Reentrant program options protect. And transaction isolation is no. We also, I talked about the DSA and the EDSA LIM. Well, you can see here in the summary that the current DSA LIM is 6 megs, as well as the EDSA LIM is 100 megs. So I have that specified in my SIT options as well. The DSA total, that is the total amount of storage that KIC has allocated below the line that's used of that 6 meg. So we can see here that we've used 2.25 meg for the DSA and 65 meg for the EDSA. So we haven't used all of it, so there are free extents. We also see the GDSA LIM, which is set by the MEM limit parameter on the by the operating system. And we can also see here that the dump tells us what the source of that was. So I have an IEF USI exit that sets the 2 gigabyte GDSA LIM. And one thing, we can go on to slide 17. This is my notes page. And one thing I wanted to mention as well is when you're looking at the total amount of storage for the EDSA and the DSA, that will be in multiples of the expense size. So 256K below the line and 1 megabyte above the line. Going on to slide 18.
So next in the dump, the summary that Eric just went over is kind of the high level, just the total DSA. We then break down each individual DSA and have summary information pertaining to it. So basically, what we're showing you here is the UDSA summary. But there would also be one for the RDSA, CDSA, as well as the SDSA. And some things we want to point out here, as Eric mentioned, I believe 2.25 meg had been allocated at the time this dump was taken. Here, the first thing you see is the size. So out of that 2.25 meg, 1 meg of it has been allocated to the UDSA. And that would be like a total of 4 extents, 4.25 meg extents. Going down a little farther, you see the current free space. That is a total of the free space in these extents, so the 4 extents that have been allocated. It's not the contiguous amount, though, is what you have to remember. You have to go down a little bit farther to the largest free area, and that is the largest contiguous free area. So, for instance, at the time this dump was taken, if somebody came in and requested 200K of UDSA storage, it would not be able to be satisfied with the current expense allocated to the UDSA, so the ICS would go and take a 0.25 meg expense that was not allocated above and give it to the UDSA. Some other things here, if you notice on the left, left column, you'll see asterisks, okay? Those give you statistical information about the subpool. And these values are controlled or reset by the STAT init SIT farm. So depending on your statistical interval, you know, you really may not be able to rely on those being current, those that are highlighted with the asterisk. Another thing down in the UDSA summary, one of the last things that's not asterisk, has access. If you scan over, you'll see that it says user. That would refer to Key9, indicating they have storage protection on, and this would be Key9 storage. And then towards the bottom, it tells you the number of extents. Over there, you'll see it says there's 3 extents. But wait a minute, I said there were 4 quarter meg extents since it's at the size of 1 meg. So this is where you have to go down and look at the extent list and take note of the size. And you'll see the first 2 extents are, yes, indeed a quarter meg. And then the last extent is a situation where a request must have come in greater than a quarter meg. So CICS combined 2 extents making a 512K extent. And now it's going to treat that last extent as 1. So that's why it has 3 there. So moving on to page 19, you will see it's just a notes page that I've tried to explain everything. So moving on to slide 20. So, again, we're just showing you the summary of an above-the-line DSA. There would be, again, an individual or a summary for each of the individual DSAs, EC, EU, ER, and ES DSA. So the one we're showing you here is the ER. The size, you can see, is considerably larger. It's above the line. It has 31 meg. And basically, it has the same information. It tells you the amount of current free space as well as the largest contiguous free area. The other information is the same. I just wanted to note that the access in this case says read-only. That tells me they have rent, PIGM equal protect on. If they had rent, PIGM equal no protect, that would show up as KISS instead. And then continuing on to slide 21, we're just showing you the extent list here. Obviously, there's many more extents. If you notice the very, you know, you can take a look at the size column and see that there's a very random sizes here. A lot of them are 1 meg, which is the minimum. But then you have some 2 meg, 3 meg, 6 meg extents. If you focus on the start column, you'll notice the first few are sequential at the meg boundary, 141, 142, all the way up to 14 Charlie. And then it kind of jumps, and you see 152, you know, 155. And I just want to point out that, you know, when you're looking at this, this gap simply means that the extent 14 dog to 151, those meg extents have been allocated to some other DSA. Okay. Moving on to slide 22, that's just, again, a notes page. I believe I've touched on everything I wanted to. So moving on to slide 23, please.
Slide 23 displays the DSA extent summary below the 16-megabyte line. And this is basically the extent list that was in each of the DSA summaries that Sarah touched on two of those, but it just organizes them differently. Here, the extents are listed in ascending order, so you can see the starting address. We have one at 40,000 for a size of 256K. The other, another column is the PPX address. Now, PPX is one of the control blocks that we're going to talk about a little later in this presentation. We have the access type, kick key, read-only or user, and then it also tells you what DSA it belongs to. Going on to slide 24 is the extent summary above the 16-megabyte line. And if you remember when Sarah was showing you the ER DSA, there was that gap after the 1-4 Charlie extent, and we didn't know where 1-4 dog to 1-5-2 it was. And what the extent summary is nice for is, since it's listed in ascending order, you can easily tell without having to go through and looking at all of the individual DSA summaries. You can see right here in the DSA column who it belongs to. So you can see a 1-4 dog belonged to the EC DSA. Going on to slide 25, this is just one of my notes pages, so we can go on to slide 26. So that's the DSA, or the extent summary. Now we get into the task subpool summary. And the task subpool summary is the summary for the task subpool. If you remember earlier, I talked about the B00 and the C00 subpools that come out of the UDSA and the EUDSA. Well, as you can see here in this list, there are two other subpools that I hadn't mentioned. There's the M00 and the C00. Well, those are task subpools as well, but they come out of the KICS DSAs, CDSA and the ECDSA. And you can see that under the access column, the C versus BU. The location B is for below, A for above. And the other thing I wanted to point out on this slide is the current number of tasks. That says 31. That 31 includes system tasks as well as the user tasks. That's all the tasks in the system. And another column that I wanted to point out was the transaction column. That's new to KICS 4.1 and makes it nice because now when you're looking at this summary, you can see that task number 217 is the transaction WBCA. And you can even see right here that it's used above the line user task storage of close to 3 meg. So going on to slide 27 is another notes page. So we can go on to slide 28. Slide 28, now that we just talked about the task subpool summary, and now we've got to talk about all the other subpools that are not task-related, which is the domain subpool summary. And there is a domain subpool summary for each remaining DSA, the KICS, the READ, and the SHARED. And I'm showing you the EC DSA just because that contains most of our subpools, and this is making more to talk about. So the way this is organized is in alphabetical by the name of the subpool. And you can see I did cut some of these out, but one thing I wanted to point out is that we typically name our subpools after what the storage is used for. So, for example, we have a bunch of KE subpools, which are for the kernel, or we have LD for loader, XM for transaction. I wanted to point out the ID column. The ID is a randomly generated number that KICS assigns to that subpool for the life that KICS runs. And we'll talk about that a little bit later when we look at some more examples of how that is used. And again, it tells you the number of get mains and free mains issued by that, by the particular subpool, and the amount of storage that it is using. So going on to slide 29. Again, this is another notes page, so we can go on to slide 30.
Okay, so we've tried to kind of break down. You have the DSA. They're broken down into individual DSAs that are further broken down into subpools, and that KICS kind of uses an algorithm or allocation of something called an extent. So now we kind of want to pull that in together and get a little deeper and try to see how KICS manages all this. So we're going to highlight right now some of the just a few of the storage manager control blocks. These control blocks are located, of course, outside of our DSA, so they're MBS get mains. And one of the first ones that all of our domains have is something called an anchor block. And yes, that should be storage manager anchor block, not storage manage anchor block. Okay. Anyway, that contains the global storage for the SM domain. All other control blocks are kind of chained off of that anchor block. Then the next level we want to talk about is something called a page pool control area, or PPA. So there's one PPA for each of the eight individual DSAs. Okay, so a PPA is associated with the individual DSA. Then we're going to take it a level lower, and now we have something called the page pool extent area, or PPX. There's one PPX per extent that would get allocated to a DSA. And this PPX contains, you know, information like what the size of the extent is, the starting and ending address of the extent. And then taking it a level lower is we have something called a page allocation map, or PAM. There's one PAM for every extent, and basically each half word of this PAM represents one page of storage in the extent. So we haven't really talked about that yet, but, you know, when we hand out an extent, what really gets handed out lower than that is something called a page. And so this PAM kind of maps out those pages. So moving on to slide 31, we're going to expand on this a little bit more and get really talking about the PAM and the extent. So again, when an extent allocated to a DSA, obviously a request came in for storage, but obviously probably not the entire extent size. So however many pages of storage to satisfy that request is needed, we need a way to assign the information or keep track of the information associating those pages with the subpool. And so this is what this PPX and PAM are utilized for. So what we have to understand now is what a page size is. Right, so we talk about a quarter meg extent and a meg extent above, but what is it? What's an actual page, you know, referred to or correspond to? And that information is taken out of the PPA control block. So it offsets 28 into the PPA control block. Remember, there's one PPA per individual DSA. So the page size is 6 at an individual DSA level. Okay? So typically, this page size is a nice round number, hex 1000 or 4K for all the DSAs. The one unique one is the EU DSA, which contains, you know, past user storage above the line, and they made the page size for that, again, a round number, hex 10,000 bytes or 64K. Okay? So when we keep talking about these pages, they're broken down typically into 1,000 except for the EU DSA, which is 10,000. But again, to verify that, you would always look at your PPA plus offset 28 of whatever DSA you're interested in. So then what happens is the offset in the PAM that corresponds or relates to this page that we're allocating is what gets updated with that subpool ID that Eric mentioned earlier to reflect that page of storage is owned and allocated to a particular subpool. Okay. So basically when a PAM or a PPX is first, a PPX represents an extent, when it's first given to a DSA, it's not going to have anything allocated, so the PAM would contain all zeros. Okay. And, you know, once we start allocating pages, we will update these half-word areas of the PAM with the corresponding subpool ID. I know that's a lot to take. We're going to go through some examples a little bit. So moving on to page 32.
So page 32, we are looking at a PPA, an example of a PPA. As you can see, it's the PPA for the EC DSA. And some important offsets within the PPA would be offset 10, which is where you would find the DSA name in F6. So if you're in browse mode, you would be able to, you would see that. Offset 20 is an address to the first PPX, which is for the extent. And then at offset 28, which we'd already talked about, is the page size. And you can see here that, sure enough, the page size for this for the EC DSA is hex 1000. Going on to slide 32, now we're going to take a look at a PPX. And remember, there's one PPX for every extent. So we're looking at a PPX for an extent within the EC DSA, offset 20 within the PPX, is the size of the extent. So here we have 100,000 or 1 meg. So we know that this extent that the PPX represents is four sides of, you know, it's only one. This isn't one that's been combined by, you know, multiple extents. And then at offset 24 is the starting address of the extent, which is 14 Fox and all zeros. And then offset 28 is the last byte of that extent. So going on to slide 34, directly following a PPX is PAM that maps it out, that maps out every page within that extent. So this basically, you can tell here by all the different numbers within this PAM that this has been quite used. There's not much free area in here at all. And like, so for example, if you go to offset 8 within this PAM, we can tell that that page that offset 8 represents has been allocated and is assigned to the subpool with the ID of 0003. Or we go to offset 34, we can tell that that's been allocated to the subpool ID of 00 Fox Baker. And then if you go to the last page in this PAM, it's all zeros. So we know that the last page of storage in this extent is free. And if you wanted to know, like, what does the subpool ID 00 Fox Baker represent, well, then you'd have to go back to the domain subpool summary and look that up. Going on to slide 35.
Okay, so now we've kind of shown you all the control blocks, and we kind of want to give you some examples of how we utilize this. So in the, you know, what Eric just went over is we had a PAM we were looking at that obviously corresponded to an extent, and it was heavily used. And a lot of times you might want to actually know the virtual address that corresponds to these offsets, right? That's what makes this useful, is what's the real address that, you know, corresponds to one of these offsets. So we're here on this slide going to be kind of looking at the PAM, trying to determine a virtual address. The example I'm going to use here is we're looking at a PPX for 1 meg extent belonging to the ECDSA that it starts at the meg boundary 14 Fox. In the associated PAM below it, we see a subpool ID of 00 Fox Baker that resides at offset 34. And we'd like to determine what the virtual address of that storage is, that page of storage. And so we've gone to the PPA for the ECDSA and verified the page size is 1,000. So here we're giving you the formula that you would use having that information in order to determine this page address. So quickly, the formula is you would take your offset into the PAM you're interested in. Remember, those are half-word offsets. You would divide that by 2. You would then multiply it by the page size and add the starting of the extent to get the page address. So for our example, we were interested in offset 34. You would divide that by 2, multiply it by 1,000, add the starting extent of the 14 Fox, and that page of storage at offset 34 corresponds to virtual address 14 Fox 1Able000. So if you went into browse mode, you'd be able to look at the page of storage at 14 Fox 1Able000, and that entire page would basically belong to whatever the subpool that corresponds to 00 Fox Baker belongs to. Okay? So that's going from the direction of the PAM to a virtual address. Now moving on to slide 36, I would say we tend to go this way more. So I'm going the opposite. Now you have a virtual address out of our DSA, one of our DSAs, and you want to figure out by looking at the PAM what subpool it corresponds to, or, you know, even if it's allocated for that matter. So you kind of have to do the reverse. We have a virtual address. Now we want to figure out what offset that corresponds to in the PAM. So So the things or the information that you need in this case is you have to have an address you're interested in. You then need to figure out what extent that address falls into. This would be a good time to probably use that extent summary that Eric touched on earlier. Go down and figure out the starting extent that your address falls within. You then need to verify the, once you have the DSA, then you need to verify the page size by looking at the TPA for that DSA. And then here is the formula, go this way. So here you'd want to take the address you're interested in, subtract out that starting extent address, that MEG address. You would then divide that by the page size, multiply it by 2, and that will give you the offset into the PAM to look at to see what subpool this page belongs to or if it's unallocated. So moving on to slide 37, we want to go through an example with you. In this case, we're interested in knowing if an address, and the address we're interested in is 14Fox057.0, if it's allocated, and if so, we want to know what subpool it belongs to. We have determined that the address falls in the ECDSA extent starting at 14Fox and all zeros. So again, now using that formula, we would take our address, 14Fox057.0, subtract the starting MEG address at 14Fox and all zeros, and we come up with 57.0. Now we would divide 57.0 by our page size of 1,000. That gives us 5. And we would now simply multiply that number 5 by 2. And we come up with ABLE. So this address, 14Fox057.0, is represented by offset ABLE into the PAM under the TPX for this extent. And we're just showing you briefly here at the bottom, you can see if you go to offset ABLE, highlighted in red, it is subpool ID 139. So I know it's an allocated, from a TIC standpoint, it is allocated, it's not free. So moving on to slide 38, now we're just going to take it a little farther. Eric touched on this. You know, we're just showing you now how you would utilize the dump to really put a name to that subpool ID called 139. And you would basically go back up in the dump to the domain subpool summary. In our case, we know we're in the ECDSA. And then under that ID column is where you would search for the number 0139. And in this case, it happens to belong to a subpool name called TS Buffers, which has something to do with temp storage. So now I have determined, you know, a page of storage, a virtual address, I've been able to determine if it's allocated or not, and vice versa. So hopefully, I know how that was a lot to take, but hopefully that will give you some insight into how TIX really manages all that DSA and pages of storage. Moving on to slide 39.
And the last thing we wanted to talk about today was how you can utilize CPSM and a WUI to view your storage real time. So going on to slide 40. I just wanted to note that what I'm going to show you today is just very, very little of what CPSM can do. It's quite powerful and it would probably be a whole presentation unto itself. So I'm just going to show you how CPSM, you can use them as like a monitor to look at your storage. So the first thing you would need to do is get to the KIX region operations view. To do that, once you log into the WUI, you're going to want to go to the KIX operations view under the view menus and then click on the KIX region operation views. And then when you do that, you're going to be displayed this KIX region operation views, which has a whole bunch of links underneath it. And I've just shown you the ones related to storage. And these are the ones that we're going to go through for the rest of this presentation. So if you click on going to slide 41, that's just a notes page. So going on to slide 42, if you were to click on the dynamic storage area global link, you would then be displayed with this view. And like when we were looking at the storage in a dump. This is basically your DSA LIN and your eDSA LIN. It's the summary information. It tells you how much is the total that's been used. And one of the nice things about CPSM is, and the WUI, is you can filter your results. So at the top, you have the context and the scope box. Well, the context is the KickFlex name that you want to look at, and then the scope is a subset of the context and limits your results that are displayed to that scope. So in this, in my example here, we're looking at just one particular KIX region, the IYNX34, which belongs to KickFlex KickSell2. Going on to slide 43. Again, this is just the notes page, so we can go on to slide 44. And the next thing I wanted to click on was, you know, from the KIX region operation views, was click on the dynamic storage areas, and that gives you the dynamic storage areas view. And like a dump, this is looking at the summary based on the individual DSA. They're all listed here under the dynamic storage area column. And some of the information it gives you is it gives you the size. So we know for the, you know, this is basically combining all of the information that was in the dump, where the dump was like separated based on DSA. Now we have it all displayed here is in a table. If you wanted to get more information on, say, the CDSA, you can click on that link, and it would then take you to another window, and it would give you more information about the CDSA. One thing I wanted to point it out, when you're looking at the DSA, the subpool size, for the GCDSA, that number is represented as kilobytes, whereas all the other values are bytes. So that is 2 gigabytes of GCDSA. Going on to slide 45, it's a notes page, so we can go on to slide 46. So now we're looking at the domain subpool, which, again, I clicked on by going from the KIX region operation views. And what this view does is it gives you all your domain subpools as your results. Alphabetically. In the dump, you had this information based on DSA. So if you wanted to get, we looked at earlier the EC DSA, whereas here, all of the subpools are displayed. What you can do with CPSM, you could filter your results on, say, you're just interested in just the KE subpool. So in the domain subpool name at the top, there's the text box. That's case sensitive, and you can type in KE and then use the asterisk as a wildcard, and you would get all the KE, all the subpools that start with KE. You can also use a plus sign as a placeholder wildcard character. So going on to slide 47, the notes page, so we can go on to slide 48. And then the last view I wanted to look at in CPSM was the task subpool. So again, like the domain subpool, which is, this is for the task-related subpools. For example, you know, we see here the C DSA, which is the M00 subpool. You know, it's used currently 16 kilobytes of storage. So this is a real-time view. I think if you look at it in the dump, these numbers were different because at the time of the dump, more storage is being used by the different subpools. So that was just a quick look into CPSM and how you could use it to look at your storage real-time in your system. Going on to slide 49.
So basically, hopefully we've been able to give you a better insight into the KIX dynamic storage areas and how KIX manages them, as well as a quick view into the dump and utilizing the WUI. And as I mentioned first on, we would like to expand upon this and possibly get, you know, a lot deeper into real problems that we face or with 878s and short on storage. So that's our plan. And moving on to 50 is just a page you might find useful of KIX-specific resources and they're all listed there. You can see those links. And at this time, I'd like to turn it back over to Joseph.
Thank you, Sarah and Eric, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Laurie, we would like to open the lines for questions.
Our first question comes from John Faustin.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, John.
Okay, this is kind of a silly question, but something that I've known the answer to. I've known for a while how to do hexadecimal subtraction and addition, but I've never done hexadecimal multiplication or division. Do you have any tips? Well, I know I've used the those little yellow cards to do multiplication, but I've never tried division. Do you have any tips as to how to do that?
I utilize the calculator on my PC, to be honest with you, the hexadecimal calculator.
Is that something that's supplied with Windows?
Yes, it is. It's under accessories, I believe. Is that where it is, Eric? Mm-hmm. Yeah, under accessories. And when you, I'm pretty sure when you bring up the base calculator, it's not the scientific one.
Okay, so
you have to, how do you do it? Do you do edit? Mm-hmm. View. I think when you do view, when you bring up the calculator, the standard is the base one. And but you can hit scientific and then, believe me, it makes life much easier.
Wow. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Extremely helpful.
At this time, there are no further questions.
Thank you, Laurie. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.